When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network after another miserable Giants loss. This one probably the worst of the season. I can't imagine it being any worse, as it's another home loss and you get blown out and the bump you try to get from Tommy DeVito doesn't happen. And Saquon Barkley at night goes for a record day, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And what happens, that John Mara clip of him sitting on a file cabinet in Joe Shane's office starts getting circulated again, where he goes, "I'm going to have a tough time sleeping at night if Saquon goes to Philadelphia." Next thing you know, he goes to Philadelphia. And not only does he go to Philadelphia, he's an MVP candidate. Now, I agreed with the move to let him go. I don't think the Giants would even be a smidge better with him on the team this year. But the fact remains that John Mara wanted to keep Saquon. He didn't want him to go to Philadelphia. He did. This team now is 2-9, and Saquon's doing what he's doing on a national level. It's just, it's the pits. It's terrible. Just
on a, he's on a much better team. He's with a much better quarterback, much better offensive line, much better playmakers around him. So like I said earlier, he's the piece that Christian McCaffrey was to the San Francisco 49ers when they made the trade.
Yeah.
And kind of unlocked everybody. And when Brock Purdy is playing, it's a thing of beauty. You know, when you sit there and you watch these games yesterday and you see Miami, and they're throwing the ball all over the place. Guys running wide open, free. I mean, Tua hitting everybody in stride. And guys running for touchdowns. And you're like, why can't these teams do half of that? They don't have to do that. Just do half of it. Now, I will say, they are built for now. They are built for offense. They are built for speed. And Tua, as Brian Daboll has told us, and I've said here many times, nobody anticipates better than Tua does. Nobody is more accurate than Tua is, and nobody throws a more catchable ball than Tua Tagovailoa. Mm. Maybe Michael Penix Jr. does down there in Atlanta, and that's what we'll see next year. Mark my words. I think he's going to be, he'll end up being a starter for Atlanta, and then Kirk Cousins will move on somewhere else and be somebody else's stopgap. But it's amazing. You watch them, you watch Detroit. And when San Francisco is totally healthy, you watch all of these offenses, it's like up and down. But what do they all have in common? When they are all healthy, they all have great offensive lines, top-end quarterbacks, and playmakers all over the field. You know, that takes time to build that. Because remember, when Dan Campbell first got to Detroit and they made the big trade for Matthew Stafford for Jared Goff, you know, everybody was kind of laughing that off, and they got off to a really bad start together. And then all of a sudden, it kicked in the second half of the season. And then last year in the playoffs, and then this year, the prohibitive favorite for the first time in the history of that franchise to go and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and think about it, too. I mean, everybody was laughing because Matt Stafford went to the Rams and won the Super Bowl. You know, and then you're stuck there, what you think is a lesser player in Jared Goff, who now is also an MVP candidate of his own this year.
So the amazing thing is like, okay, so I'm sure the Lion fans said, of course, Matthew Stafford's going to win the Super Bowl now with the Rams.
Yeah.
Much like Giant fans are looking at Saquon Barkley saying, of course, now he's going to be an MVP candidate and maybe even win a Super Bowl with the Eagles. It's kind of like the same thing. You gotta wait and see what the final numbers are, and you know, Saquon's having a great year. I mean, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got that guaranteed money that he told Nate Burleson a couple weeks ago that he's playing for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. I know exactly what you mean, and I think that there's one way, and this is why it's so hard, and we talk about it every year. There is one way to get out of this, and the Jets and Giants have had their opportunities and whiffed multiple times, and that's drafting the right quarterback. That's it. I mean, that is it. And it's no surprise that if you don't draft the right quarterback, you better have one of the most innovative head coaches out there
to be able to keep things going, or offensive coordinators.
I mean, that's Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
I mean, think about Mike Tomlin. You know, he had Ben Roethlisberger for the biggest part of his career. And now, without Ben over the last few years, he still has kept them in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are competitive. It's kind of like the Rangers. The Rangers are competitive. They always stay competitive. They always seem to be in the playoff mix.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that, as a fan, it's kind of like the Yankees, too. Like, you expect to be in the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm trying to think of, like, other situations. Like, the Vikings have two great coaches on each side of the ball. You know, they don't have the best quarterback. Sam Darnold's playing great, but...
Well, he's had his moments. You know, there were a couple games there where he didn't play all that well.
Yeah, but his last two games, he played very well.
Yes.
And he had to limp off the field yesterday, but luckily he was all right. But great coaching there with Flores and Kevin O'Connell. And the rest of these situations of the good teams are, you know, generally it's because they've got... Or they found a quarterback who gets the job done. Or is surrounded by great help. Like Jalen Hurts has not been the same since that Super Bowl year. He's been, but I mean, look at DeVonta Smith, but he's AJ
getting back.
Brown.
I think his performance is getting back to where it was.
Which is scary for the
second
NFC.
Half of last year, he fell apart. The team fell apart. You know, Sirianni fell apart. Whatever, however you want to describe it. But I will say this, tonight, you're going to see Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert and the Harbaugh brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this should be quite the game tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be. And I forget. I think I picked the Chargers. Did you pick the Chargers?
Yes, I did.
All right.
And maybe the Jets should have hired Jim Harbaugh when he was available.
You know what's interesting? Do you remember the whole situation? So there was, prior to him winning the national championship in Michigan, he interviewed with one team and one team only.
Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings.
That's right. And they let him walk out of the building and didn't give him the job. And they stepped in, you know what, with Kevin O'Connell. He's been a really good head coach for them. But they could have had him at that point. He goes back to Michigan, wins a national championship, and now is with the Chargers doing what I think most people expected him to do. Have a winning team right away.
Well, he turns around situations and, like, he's got a quarterback. And the quarterback's doesn't have to do a lot, like as much as he was being asked to do before Jim got there.
Yeah.
And this defense has been a lot better. They've had a little bit of a softer schedule. Tonight will be a really good test for this defense to see whether or not they can slow down Lamar and Derrick Henry and, you know, this offensive juggernaut that the Baltimore Ravens turned out to be. But the Ravens' defense is no great shakes, and they're having all sorts of problems in the secondary, and they don't have the pass rush that they used to have.
That's right. All right, remember I just told you about the shushing that happened at Boomer and Geo Lives? There was a...
I would slap that guy around, man. If you're running that guy, you shush my wife. Boom!
But apparently she deserved the shushing, as she said that she was out of line. So I tell the story, and here is the man who shushed my wife.
Oh, okay.
This is Jason in Connecticut. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
How are you guys?
I'm doing great, man. So did I tell an accurate depiction of what happened?
Very much so.
Oh no. Come on. Wait, you there?
First time, long time.
Oh.
Yes, your wife.
Hold on. Jason,
are
you there?
Jason.
Say that again?
All right.
Turn your TV off and turn the radio down.
I got no TV. I'm sorry.
All right. So turn the radio down. Just start over. Answer Gio's question.
One more time, all right? Because we didn't hear anything you said because the phone went out and there was echoing and everything else. So did I give an accurate depiction of what happened?
Yes, absolutely perfect. I'm a big fan of the show. Your wife couldn't have been nicer. It was just in a segment. I'm such a big fan of the show. I was trying to hear. And, you know, they're having a good time. And exactly what she said. She listens to you all the time, so she kind of tunes you out. So I get her side right. of it because my wife agreed.
Yeah.
But yes, she could have been nicer. She offered to take a shot with me and my wife immediately. So everyone was having a good time. And to be honest, I was mortified afterwards. So.
Oh, don't.
Oh, yeah,
don't
yeah. Be. I got to tell you something though. That is such like a Boomer and Geo thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason, you're a part of the family now. You know that.
I hope so, man. I listen 4 hours religiously every day. So
that's great. Well, thanks, man. And she felt really bad too. So you don't feel bad at all. She said she deserved it. She was talking too loud. She didn't want to ruin anybody's experience. So don't feel mortified. But it was funny though. They kept saying that you didn't believe it. Like you were like, this can't possibly be his wife. You guys are messing with me, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I got it. If anybody knows me, there's nothing I can't do that. Like something happens every time I leave the house. So this was almost like unbelievable. And let me say something to you. Yeah. For, on a WFAN salary, good job, by the way, brother. You know, how you pulled that off, but yes. So
thank you. I appreciate that. And by the way, Jason, I met her when I was on a Pittsburgh night salary. So, and she somehow stuck with me through that. So
She saw potential.
Yeah.
She saw you as a starting quarterback.
Certainly.
In the future. Maybe it didn't start out so well. A little bumpy.
Yeah.
Rocky. A little bad timing. Not a lot of money.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, all of a sudden,
you came back
to New York where your career was going to fail, supposedly.
Yeah, that's right. Heard right. that a couple times.
Yes.
Yep. And here we are. So that was, there you go. So all's well that ends well with a shush at Boomer and Geo Live. Do you shush people?
Nah, not really. You know, a couple times at Ranger playoff games, I would
Turn around somebody. And
say, you know, listen, now is not the time to learn goddamn hockey in the middle of a playoff game.
Oh, isn't that the worst?
It is the worst.
But you wouldn't shush. You'd turn around, you'd say something.
I'm trying to watch the game and I'm listening, and this guy explained the game to that guy.
Yeah, not good. I got to lock in here. That's what happens in those seats of yours, though. You know, you get these people who just bop in. They have no idea what's going on.
Just can Keandre Miller hit somebody, please? Jesus.
We saw this guy on Friday night, Chris from Smithtown. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you? Good
to see
you guys.
All right, Chris. Great seeing you, man. What's up?
So I was just thinking when you were talking about the Jets reports before, could you imagine Joe B's reaction if the Jets hired Mangini over Rex Ryan?
Oh, my God. No, I mean, and he, from what I remember, like, he really disliked Mangini at the end, right? Like, it wasn't...
Yeah.
Like, he really hated Todd Bowles, too. Like, he really hated Todd Bowles.
I remember him having a classic rant when they lost to the Dolphins to lose the playoffs.
Yeah.
In that last game of the season, it was a classic one.
Yeah. You know what, though, Chris? Joe is, like, different. His takes have changed over the last few years, where he, like, when I expect him to be really angry, he's not. And then he'll go after people I'm surprised he went after. And then, like, he brought up the fact that he wanted Deion Sanders to coach the team, which is something that Joe Beningo in 2004 or 2005 would never have never gone said. For, right? Right? So I don't know. He might surprise us, Chris. It's great seeing you, and thanks for the support and everything. He might surprise us and actually want Mangini. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, you know, want Mangini as what? As a coach or like a director of football operations, GM?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what they're going to do.
What does he even do? Where is he?
As I understand right now, what he's going to do is going to lean on some... He's not going to go the headhunter way. He's not going to go the Corn Ferry way.
Corn Ferry.
Right, he's not going to do that. He's going to go through the back channel NFL stuff that you would normally... Maybe one of these owners would go with.
Well, remember
whoever he's close to as an owner, I'm not sure, but whoever his closest allies are within the NFL, I'm sure that he'll be leaning on them and asking them for some suggestions and things of that nature.
Remember the Commanders like hired a bunch of people that were either in the NFL or not. Like they brought in Bob Myers, the old
Golden State Warriors GM. Yes. Yeah. Like, yeah, but still, you know, you're still a business guy.
Yeah.
You know, one sport is, you know, you just want to make sure you're hiring the right person. But Bob Myers was buddies with Adam Peter. I think it's Adam Peters, right? The GM of the Washington Commanders?
Yeah, I'm not positive. But yeah. So
I know the last name is Peters. I think it's Adam, I think. But he came from the 49ers.
Right. So but they hired, the point was that the Commanders brought in a bunch of people to help them with their search that they trust and respected.
In the sports world.
Right,
That had success. And maybe Woody will go that way. But, you know, that's what the Giants did with Shane and Dable.
Yeah.
Like, they had success up there in Buffalo. They saw how it was built. They saw how Sean McDermott was running the team, how Brandon Bean was building the team. So this is usually what happens. So whatever the successful teams are in the moment, those are usually where the coaches come from and the GMs come from. They come from those staffs. And those staffs are, or those players and, or I should say, coaches and GMs. There's a list that the NFL puts together every year and puts out in front of the teams that are looking for new GMs and coaches.
I'm just picturing Shedeur Sanders getting drafted by the Giants. I mean, it would be pure entertainment for us. It would be incredible to have Shedeur here and Deion here. But just imagine, like,
but you're not going to have Deion here.
Oh, what do you mean? I mean, he would not be here, like, employed by the Giants, but he would be here. He would be talking about Shedeur. He'd be giving his opinion.
I'll tell you, whoever the coach is next year, if it is Brian Daboll and Shedeur Sanders is the quarterback, you'd be get ready for a tidal wave. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a tidal wave. Because if Shedeur gets mishandled, something goes wrong, and the coach is not handling him right.
That's what I mean about Deion being here.
Yeah.
Even if he's out in Colorado still.
His presence is going to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just going to be hovering. Unless he takes an NFL job and then feels like he can't talk about that.
I would still say the Raiders are still in the mix for this. They're right there as well. They're one game ahead of the Giants in terms of victories.
Can you throw up the Giants schedule there, CBS Sports Network, so we can go through that while...
The Vegas Raiders are 2-9, just like the Giants are. The Giants, Jacksonville, and the Raiders are all three of those teams are 2-9.
Yeah. All right. So we know what game could they win? I guess they could beat the Cowboys. I mean they're home. They never win anything at home. So I would say maybe the Colts.
How about if the Eagles don't need to win that game? Yeah, and the Eagles do another one of those laydown spots.
Yeah, Nate Sudfeld.
and they get the Giants out of the number one overall pick.
Possible.
If that happens.
I mean, you could see like two teams trying to lose in that situation. Like just like taking knees the whole time.
Well, the Eagles would win by losing.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they'd knock the Giants out of the number one spot, possibly.
You think it would ever come down to that where like, a team wanted to lose so bad in that last game that they were just like the coach was just like just take a knee every time we're on offense.
It's amazing. All right, so now what about the Raiders? What do they have? The Raiders have lost looks like 7 in a row.
Mm.
Okay, they're at Kansas City. That's the Black Friday game we're talking about this Friday. At Tampa Bay,
yeah,
they have Atlanta at home. Now Jacksonville and the Raiders are going to play.
That's a good thing for the Giants.
That is. And New Orleans, and then the Chargers.
Number one overall pick would be awesome for them. It really would be.
Because then they bring the whole kit and caboodle.
Yep.
I think that Deion and Shedeur in Vegas with Tom Brady there. Oh, is it going to, would it get any more electric than that?
For us here, it would get, I don't want to see him in Vegas. I want to see him here. I want the Shedeur Sanders experience at MetLife Stadium. Him in a Giants uniform, him and Malik Nabers. That's what I want. And I bet you Giants fans probably, I would hope they'd feel the same way.
You going federal on me?
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I am kind of going a little bit federal. How you can tell is amazing.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Half of New York City families are struggling with rising costs of food and rent. You can make a difference. Join Why Hunger's Hungerthon to nourish people today and build a future free from hunger. Act now at hungerthon.org. All right, we have got CeeLo back with us, and CeeLo's got an update, and he's got moment of the day. And CeeLo's very hungry. He told me he was very disappointed to get the email that the caterers for the Native American Heritage Day breakfast are stuck in traffic.
And shocker.
That's what happened with us with Chubb's Meats last week.
It's unbelievable.
It's tough to get around these parts, especially this week.
It really is,
man. I don't know who these caterers are that are bringing this breakfast this morning, but they cannot top what Chubb's did on Friday.
Oh, God, it was unbelievable.
It was ridiculous. Chubb Insurance.
Mm.
All right.
I mean, they had that...
Chubby Chaser.
They had that turkey bomb.
Yes.
Which was basically like a rice ball, but filled
It looks
with,
like a chubby.
Filled with turkey, stuffing,
chubby stick,
gravy, and deep fried. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
They had their Thanksgiving pinwheel.
Fully erect thong.
They had their strombolis. They just, man,
day. He just sits in there and pushes buttons.
I mean, that's all he does. The chubby ones that he unloaded, but yeah. I'm not sure how the fully erect dong works.
You have no idea what going federal means.
No.
Now you do.
FED.
Oh, I did hear this. Was that last week you guys broke that down? Who was that? It was Shador Sanders.
And his teammate,
Yeah. I did hear that.
I feel like I have stop at Chubbs, man. On my way home now. Okay. Go a little, bring home a couple Thanksgiving bombs, turkey bombs.
Some meat sweats.
Walk in with the federal. Walk in going federal.
Chubbs.
Chubbs. Yeah, baby. Man, love those guys. All right, CeeLo, what's happening, man?
Yeah, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So a bloodbath again at MetLife Stadium yesterday. Giants lose to the Bucs 30-7 as they come out of the bye week with a dud. They were down 23-0 at the half. You had four different Bucs, including Baker Mayfield, score rushing touchdowns. So the move to Tommy DeVito did nothing to stop the stink for the Giants. Right on down the line in the postgame, beginning with Dexter Lawrence. They were outspoken in support of Daniel Jones earlier in the week, and things obviously did not go well on Sunday.
Are you angry?
Extremely. You play soft, and they beat today.
They did. Brian Burns asked about being down 30-0 out of the bye week, said, quote, that's ass. Over on the offensive side, Malik Nabers frustrated after zero first half targets. The Giants got nothing done against that Tampa Bay defense. He's fed up with this garbage.
What words today would you use to describe this loss?
Selfish.
How disappointed are you?
Very.
What are you most disappointed about?
I mean, solve, man. I'm tired of going out there and losing. Like, it's just that. I mean, I don't know, bro.
As far as
I'll tell you, if Bruce Beck wants to retire from NBC, he could probably start working for BetterHelp as one of the therapists. The way he delivers his, what are you most disappointed about? Tell me about that time that your uncle, never mind. But, you know,
we got
he's got that. He's got that voice. He's got that calming voice.
Yep. Cadence, absolutely.
And then Malik Nabers, just that whole scene. With the gum and the leather jacket and the sunglasses. It's soft as F. It's just, here we are, man.
Yeah. He said it's not about the quarterback, though, because the results were the same with DeVito as they were with Daniel Jones, who is set to clear waivers today at 4 o'clock. Then he's free to sign elsewhere, and sounds like he will have multiple suitors, including some playoff contenders. Couple of other quotes. Jermaine Illuminor, quote, I personally don't think everybody's given 100%.
Wow.
Darius Slayton asked if they can put together some more inspiring efforts. Forget victories, just a better effort the rest of the way with six games still remaining.
Yeah, we can if people start doing their job, but I mean, it's like anything, bro. If you go out there and you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you get beat, and we collectively get beat.
I also saw this one.
Is like this is a reoccurring theme amongst the players. Somebody's not doing their jobs. Like, who are we talking about here?
Nobody named names, but...
I know we can see, like, what we think is the case, or, you know, if John Michael Schmitz gets run over, that's just a physical one play on one, you know, that's just one, and that's physical. That's not a mistake. It's just getting beat, that's all. But who are making the mistakes, or who isn't coming prepared, or who isn't showing up, who isn't giving the effort? You know, because the players are calling out somebody. I'm just trying to figure out who.
Darius Slayton's been here a while, obviously. Quote, we've got capable players that don't play like they're capable, period. 6 long years for me, dog.
Okay, so like, who is he talking about?
Not sure. It's multiple regimes for him.
I mean, is it? Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
Is that a knock at the coaching staff? Like, we have the guys are just not playing up their abilities because these coaches don't put them in the right spots.
I mean, it could be. But now it's all fraying at the edges now, and now it's finger pointing time. Things are coming apart. I mean, even Tommy DeVito, as positive as he wants to be, and as much energy as he wants to bring, sometimes it's impossible. If you step on the field and you don't feel like you can get something done, you know, you don't have a chance.
Oh, he told us last hour that it's been a while, but it's coming soon. So stay tuned.
Well, for him, I hope so, man. I have nothing against, you know, any of these guys. You want them to win, but Jesus.
Yeah.
This is tough. It's got to be just killing Brian Daboll. So gotta be killing him.
The response to the end of the Daniel Jones era, pretty alarming, obviously. And our guy, C-Mac, who's been on the bench Daniel Jones and tank for a quarterback train for a while, couldn't believe, even so, the lack of effort and quit from the remainder of the team yesterday over what he says is a mediocre to below average quarterback.
Like, I'm sorry. I like Daniel Jones. I respect Daniel Jones. He's tough as hell. He doesn't run from anything. He doesn't run from criticism. He doesn't run from contact. He doesn't run or hide from anything. He is a stand-up dude. I respect the hell out of Daniel Jones. He stinks. He's not very good.
So point being, why the impact on the rest of the team? Are they like Dexter Lawrence is, you know, seemingly crushed?
I don't know. Boomer didn't agree with me on this, but my take was that it wasn't so. It's a combination of Daniel Jones being like the nicest guy who worked his ass off and dealt with injuries and rehab, and also the idea that their move with releasing him was motivated, or making him the fourth quarterback was motivated by money.
Yeah.
And I felt like that maybe didn't sit well. Like, you're really going to do this guy dirty who's been given his entire effort to the organization because of this injury guarantee? Like, you're going to just swat him away? Like, that doesn't sit well with players, I would imagine. But
well, I think if the players, they know it's a business. I mean, their agents are fighting for them all the time. But they should also realize that the owner of this team did right by Daniel Jones by releasing him. Because remember, Daniel Jones went in there and asked for his release.
Yeah.
I was assuming that they were going to release him, much like the Raiders did with Derek Carr, but they didn't fully release him. They just told him to go home.
Yeah, go home, yeah.
We still have you under contract, because they didn't want him going anywhere, I guess, and playing somewhere else. But by what John Mara just did here, he did Daniel Jones a huge solid. And I do believe that with the Saquon Barkley stuff and how John Mara felt about that, because we saw that, and how he, when he brought in Brian Daboll and said how we screwed over this player so many times because we haven't given him a real chance to get, you know, into an offense for the better part of 2 years, I think he felt like he owed him the right to release him and not, like, insult him by making him the fourth quarterback. You know what I mean?
He also is opening himself up, John Mara is, to further embarrassment, because there is a scenario out there where Daniel Jones gets an opportunity to play and plays well. And that's going to be another thing that people can laugh at the Giants for. But I don't think that's going to happen. But by allowing him to go somewhere, you also are open to that situation.
I think I honestly think John Mara is a stand-up guy. I really do. I
mean, but we know that.
You know why? Because you normally don't see stuff like this. You really don't see stuff like this. And this owner took care of this young man, paid him a lot of money, and said, you know what? If you can hook on with another team here at the end of the year, God bless you. And I don't want you to have the indignity of standing on the sideline as the fourth string quarterback, not even in uniform.
Yeah. I mean, we asked, was he going to be in street clothes? Was he going to be...
He would have been in street clothes had he still been here. But, you know, so they... And I'm sure that Daniel's agent probably told them, look, I got a couple teams that would love to have you as the backup and as they're making these playoff runs.
So that's 4 p.m. today?
That 4 p.m. Yeah. is when I think they... The transactions for
I wonder
today.
I wonder, you know, I had somebody, obviously getting a lot of posts this morning because of this discussion. A lot of different teams out there that fans are talking about, the Dolphins being one of them. Eddie, what do you think?
Yeah.
Well, he's probably better than Skylar Thompson.
Tyler Huntley, yeah.
Ravens, Dolphins, 49ers. Anybody else you could think of?
Vikings.
The Vikings were thrown out there, but that would kind of surprise me.
Yeah.
I know they like Nick Mullins there. I don't know. I would think if I'm Daniel Jones, the Dolphins and the 49ers are the real intriguing places for me to
Even though the 49ers might not make it.
Hell.
You get a chance to play with all those guys. And I know it's not been a great year for them. And Deebo Samuel.
I mean, I don't know how bad Brock Purdy is, but if Brock Purdy is like a 3-week injury and he's going to go out there tomorrow.
Not sure.
And he's going to go play with that group of guys and they got a road trip to Buffalo next week, I'd go there.
But how hurt is Brock Purdy? Al, remember when he quit during that NFC Championship game, Brock Purdy?
Oh, yeah, with everything on the line.
Yeah, so I wonder, is this a real injury or not?
He does
great
have
question. A track record
Didn't
here.
You backed that up initially. Yeah, that's right. You were hoping nobody remembered that.
Al and I were on the same page.
You guys are idiots.
fake ACL injury.
That was like, you know, fake you sad on
Tommy John surgery.
He didn't give it his all. That's all. No. I mean,
he actually went back out on the field.
Tried to play left-handed.
Yeah, and was like left-handing the ball off. I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah, right. The thing's already snapped. Like, you know.
Shoot it up. Let's go.
Shoot it up. Let's go. Yeah. Oh, boy.
So a lot of these former Giants, it's sort of, you know, insult to injury between Saquon's night last night. We talked about Xavier McKinney, his seventh interception. From a Giants and Jets standpoint, you got Geno Smith coming to town this week. Seahawks won yesterday. Another former Jet and Giant had a monster day on defense, that being our old friend Leonard Williams. And the new Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald was quick to throw roses at him after the game.
I thought he was dominant. I knew he played great, and then I looked at the stat line. I didn't realize that he played out of his mind. Yeah, he's there's not many like him walking the planet, and I'm glad he's on our team, and he's a heck of a guy.
I mean,
well, you know, the Jets drafted him, so yeah. They knew what they were doing, and then they traded him to the Giants, who knew what they were doing.
Yeah,
and then they gave him an opportunity to go into the playoffs and go play for Seattle.
At least they got something for him, so it's not as bad as
everything you said is right. It's just the timing of these things. Yeah. It's just incredible. Yeah. When was the last time you heard Leonard Williams?
I know. And if you watch that, I mean, he was like everywhere. He's firing up the crowd. He's blowing kisses to the fans in Seattle. I'm like, really?
What is going Baker on Mayfield's here? A MetLife team.
Yeah. Which OCU Manure? Did you see his tweet?
I did not know.
Which I was odd. I had it here real quick. There must be repercussions for that celebration. Must be.
Like what? Like break his leg?
I don't know, but it was, yeah.
But look at that.
Oh, man.
We'll hear a little bit more about that in a moment of the day.
By the way, you don't do it this way.
Yeah, that's what,
he was doing. It was like a Trump dance up in the air with the Italian signal. I mean, what was
I don't know, but they had the last laugh, obviously. Nets beat the Kings out in Sacramento 108-103. Cam Thomas led the way with 34 points. They'll turn around and play the Warriors tonight. We will have coverage on The Fan after the beginning of Monday Night Football. You got the Harbaugh Bowl between the Ravens and the Chargers out at SoFi Stadium, and then the conclusion of that game will be on the AM dial.
I mean, tonight's a good night for sports.
There's a lot
here.
Going
yes.
on. Yeah.
Yes!
Knicks, Nets, all the hockey locals are at home.
Reasonable
as well.
Hours.
Well, not so much. Basketball will be late because both teams are out west. The Knicks are the Knicks in Denver, Utah. Not as bad.
That
yeah,
was brutal.
Yeah, and then Nets-Warriors out on the west coast as well. So you've got all that to look forward to. Right now, we're going to look forward to Moment of the Day. It's brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo, Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila brought to you by those who drink it. Remind you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. So we were just talking about the Baker Mayfield Italian hand celebration there, which became a bit of a post-game thing with one particular reporter who, I guess, didn't care for it. A little bit of a back and forth with Mayfield here.
Who came up with that?
Oh, I have no idea. I just see him do it.
No, but whose idea was it for you to do that? And when did you know you were going to do it?
Most of the times I don't know what I'm going to do, so... there's spontaneous stuff.
That was just spontaneous? That was not planned? I mean, even your teammates got into it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, New York fans love Tommy here and give him something they like.
Are you Italian by any chance or no?
I haven't done a 23andMe, but I don't know.
She was not amused by the whole thing.
I mean, what was she trying to get at?
I don't know, and I would have assumed that this was a New York, like a local New York reporter, and what I can gather, I guess this was someone from Tampa. I don't know what. But she brought up the Italian thing. It's like, are you Italian by chance?
Italian? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not.
Are you?
I'm not really sure.
You didn't plan that? What?
I mean.
That's exactly how I felt.
I mean, Jesus.
So you really, that wasn't premeditated? I mean, I don't understand. You said it was a trivia lady. Are you Italian?
Shut up. Jesus Christ.
It's brutal.
What was wrong with you?
A lot of weird stuff going on around these parts these days.
Hey, the Blues just fired their coach?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Well, Jim Montgomery gets shaken loose in Boston, and teams are like, tripping over themselves.
So he'll be on the bench on the at MSG tonight.
Yeah, I'm sure taking names with his new team.
The way things have been going on around here.
Yeah.
Watch Bisnevich come up with a hat trick or something
tonight for the Blues. Mm. Yes. Igor gets chased.
Yeah. All right, CeeLo.
Maybe Kondra Miller lay out another of his own teammates.
Yeah.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. It really is amazing. Sometimes you have like those self-realization moments of like what we actually do here. You know, like, and I was just having one of those. Like, we get so worked up over these things and these Mondays are coming in. And these teams stink, but like, what are we really doing here? You know, we're like, we're really, it's a fun show. We're trying to have fun. But I was laughing my ass off. Boomer's trying to feel bad because Boomer's trying to read me like some news article, and I'm just cracking up because I'm watching on the monitor the clip of Alan Cielo from the first segment of the warm-up show, which I heard. And Al's facial expressions, he was so disgusted. Like, I mean, you see him, and it's even funnier when he's not talking, when CeeLo's trying to explain something to him, and Al's face is just like, no! He's not accepting any explanation, nothing. He's throwing his hands up. It's just incredible.
Well, I would say that after pretty much every Sunday this entire season, like, you've been miserable on Monday because of the way the Jets or the Giants have performed that weekend.
Yeah, that 5 to 5:15 a.m. segment's a rough one.
You just get all over poor Jerry, because Jerry has snapped a couple times already this year.
Like, I had the one where I was really pissed off at the Jets, the Colts loss. Like, that was, I was really annoyed that day. But at this point, it's like I'm almost, like, we're like numb to it at this point.
Well, it's almost, I hate to say it, it's almost like, you know, passing a car accident on the highway where, like, everybody's got to stop and rubberneck and everybody's got to look at it.
Yeah.
And now it's gotten to a point where, all right, this is going to be a really interesting week because the Jets are back from their bye. The Giants play on Thursday. There's going to be a lot of conversation what's going on with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers.
Do you think he starts this week? We're going to find that out before Wednesday, I think. Like, we'll probably find, we may find out. You know what? At 10:10 today, we might hear that Aaron Rodgers is on IR.
If you told me he was going to be on IR because of a hamstring injury, I would not be surprised. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
I won't. I can't predict whether he will or he won't.
Is that because Mike said that?
No.
No. If you missed it earlier, Mike Frances on his Bet Rivers podcast basically said the same exact thing that Boomer had said, you know, 4 days prior to Mike saying it. But
yeah, whatever. But the thing is that just to be serious for a second, and in regards to Aaron Rodgers, is that, I mean, much like Brett Favre when he was here, like, he tried to play through injuries. Now, Brett may have done it because, you know, he wanted to keep the streak alive or whatever, but, you know, there is a level of pressure when you come here and you want to win, you want to be the reason that you're winning, and you want to stay out there with your guys. That's a big part of it. And like I said, if you told me that Aaron came back after everything that has happened with now Joe Douglas being fired, the report that Woody was talking about benching him. Now, I don't know if Woody said that in that meeting that was reported in The Athletic. How did he say it? Did he say, hey, if he's hurt, let's bench him and give him a couple weeks to get better, and let's put Tyrod in? Yeah. Or did he say, I don't want to hear this, bench him? Like, I, you know, there's a number of different ways of discussing that.
Sure. I mean, it could have been just one of those things like, well, if he's going to play like this, then why don't we just have Tyrod Taylor play?
If he's hurt.
Right, yeah, exactly.
If he's hurt and this is going to compromise his abilities to play and to move, then why don't we give him a few weeks off? And, you know, you could say that's a benching, but you could also say, hey, listen, we know you're hurt and you're not able to play the way you are capable of playing. We want to give you a chance to get healthy.
Yeah, then the context matters there. But
100% it does.
I would be very surprised if he is starting on Sunday with all the reporting that's out there. And he may tell the world tomorrow on Pat McAfee himself, because he likes controlling the news cycle himself. And maybe something gets out there prior to that. I wouldn't be surprised if he was like, hey, I'm going to break some news here. I'm going to go on IR. It's going to be it for me.
You can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want about the way he's played, and if he is injured and he does go on IR, I mean, you got to give him a lot of credit for going out there and playing hurt, because that also compromises him in the eyes of the fans. You know, and a lot of fans will say, if you're hurt, then don't play. Well, unfortunately, we as athletes want to play, no matter what the situation may be.
Yeah. Hey, it's just, bringing him in at this stage of his career and him breaking down like this is just very Jetsian. It just, I mean, he had some injuries throughout his time in Green Bay, but he comes here and, you know, of course, the ACL, which is huge, week one, and now potentially a massive
hamstring injury to keep him out for what could be the rest of the season. But we'll see. I mean, maybe he fights through it. Maybe he doesn't want to go out like that. Maybe he had a week of rehab in the bye week and he feels good. I don't know. I just think there's a better chance than not that he's not finishing this season as the Jets quarterback.
And right now, the Jets are 7th overall in the draft. So
they got some work to do. Got some losses to mount.
It goes Jaguars, Giants, Raiders right now. And then it's the Patriots, Panthers, Titans, and Jets and Browns.
Yep. Group of losers right there.
It's just somebody's gotta hit the lotto. You gotta get the QB, you gotta get the guy that's gonna change the whole franchise.